Thank you for joining another episode of Tech & Main Presents, where we bring you the best insights from today's leaders and experts in technology. Today, we're bringing back an old friend. We will be speaking for a second time with Greg Edwards. Greg is the CEO of Canary, a global cybersecurity firm based in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Greg, welcome back to the Tech & Main Presents podcast.
Thanks for having me back, Sean. Glad to be here.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. So nice we had to do it twice. So again, appreciate you coming back. And yeah, it is like we're welcoming back a dear friend. So Greg, with that, for those that may not have heard the first episode, share your background with our audience.
Yeah, so I've been in the IT space now longer than I'd like to admit, but 20 plus years. I started out as a owner of a managed services practice, and I've started two SaaS businesses out of that. So the first was an offsite backup and disaster recovery company, and I exited and sold that to a publicly traded company back in 2016, and then started Canary, which previously was CryptoStopper and now Canary, and migrated after seeing the damage that cyber attackers were doing in the offsite backup business, migrated to the cybersecurity space and started Canary and launched that as a way to detect and stop ransomware before it does the damage that would require recovering from backup.
Okay, awesome. Well, Greg, appreciate you sharing that. And of course, we'll link the first episode that you did with us in the show notes for this one so that folks can go back and get that fuller picture and kind of see what the differences between today's episode and that episode that we did back in 2021. But speaking of 2021, Greg, what have you been up to since we last spoke?
Lots of things have changed in the last year. So I think just from a personal standpoint, being able to get back out and travel some has been and being able to see people again, that's been a nice change for myself and for everyone. And so we did quite a few tech conferences and trade shows this year. So that's probably the biggest thing that I've been up to in the previous 12 months.
Okay. Awesome. And so with you being back out on the road and folks seeing you again for the first time since the pandemic, what's that reception been like with people actually in the room and being able to come up to you afterwards and shake hands and such?
Yeah, so it's been great. I mean, I would say one of the things that enabled our success, actually, and I don't know how to word this without it sounding bad, but the pandemic actually helped us from the standpoint of being a small cybersecurity startup. We really had the advantage to be able to do webinars and do promotion online that we may have not been able to do pre-pandemic. And so then once we were able to go back out and go to trade shows and see people in person, then we had already established credibility and that we were an ongoing concern and it wasn't something brand new. So I think that really was a great transition for us. And I hate to say it in that way because the pandemic was so horrible and not a great event for so many people, but it really was helpful as a startup through that time period.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that added insight. So Greg, as you mentioned, the company is now Canary. It was at one time CryptoStopper. Just out of curiosity, what made you decide to make the name change?
Yeah, so CryptoStopper, that name came out of one of the original variants of ransomware called CryptoLocker. So within the industry and within the space, a lot of technicians called ransomware in general CryptoLocker. And it really wasn't CryptoLocker, it was really ransomware. But and so that name made sense at the time. And that was really before cryptocurrency took off. And so there became a lot of confusion between cryptocurrency and Crypto Stopper, and what we were doing really has some to do with cryptocurrency, but really is the cryptography that we were stopping. And so we use bait files, kind of like the canary in the coal mine, bait files. And so a name switch was needed. We looked at and brainstormed lots of different names, and Canary is what made the most sense. So, and Canary, what Canary is a predatory bird. So it's, rather than being a canary in the coal mine, it's has that similar name, but it is a predatory bird that goes after and kills its prey, which is ransomware.
Okay. All right. I like that, Greg. I like that. So I'm just sitting here filled with curiosity as it relates to the name. What were some of the other names considered?
Oh man, I don't even remember all of them. To come up with a name. So we wanted something that was short. So in that 8 character or less. And I would challenge anyone to go out and register an 8 character or less domain name today.
Right. In 2021, 2022. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nearly impossible. So I don't even, that's a great question, but I don't even remember. We came up with a short list, but it's been more than 3 months now, so I've completely forgotten what the other ones were.
Oh, hey, that's okay. But I think you do bring up a really interesting point, right? Which is, I mean, obviously ransomware protection is your calling card, but as a business owner, as someone who wears multiple hats, right? Marketing is one of those hats or one of those functions that needs to be addressed, right? And so you did mention, hey, I'd challenge anyone to come up with an 8-character cool sounding name, but that is one of the things that goes along with being the CEO and the leader of a company.
Right. Yeah. And we did. So there were several of us that worked on the name. I at this point, I don't even remember who it was that came up with that particular name. But as soon as we came up with it and saw that the domain was available, registered it, and we were all like, yeah, that's the one. And then went through process of getting everybody else in the company involved, and went through a voting process with Canary and with the other names that we came up with. And yeah, I mean, that Canary was by far the favorite of everyone.
Okay. So there's a hint of diplomacy in the way you came about the name too there, Greg. I like that. I like that. So I've
always been a very transparent CEO. And actually, something that we're going to talk about a little bit later is we've actually hired a CEO to take my spot, and I've been, I would say, promoted back to CTO so I can focus on the technology. But one of my philosophies as a business owner has always been transparency within the company and getting ownership from everyone else that's involved, so that we're really working as a team and not just giving that lip service.
Oh, Greg, that's a good word, transparency. And in our industry, in our ecosystem, transparency is actually kind of counterculture, right? Because when people are trying to get into your network, when they're looking for that unsecured IoT device, right, they're doing the exact opposite of being transparent.
Right.
So it's good, because you do have to create that balance.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's one thing that's always been important from my standpoint, is having that transparency. And obviously we don't want to have that transparency through our software and allow the attackers in, but within the company and within the organization, definitely that transparency is critical to me.
Okay. Awesome. So Greg, let's talk about you and the team there at Canary. What would you say has been the biggest challenge for you this year?
So I think the biggest challenge is we're committed to staying fully remote. So we're not going, and we, through the pandemic, hired personnel all over the world. But it's been a challenge that I wasn't really expecting to be a challenge, in that keeping everyone fully engaged. And I think that's just part of our environment now, with as coming out of the pandemic and everyone having their own challenges in their lives and not being able to get together because we are committed to that fully remote workforce. It's been a challenge, but it's also been, I feel, very worthwhile. And we are, as a company, fully committed to staying with the remote workforce and continuing to hire people all over the world. So I'd say that's been the biggest challenge in this year. If you challenge is sales and marketing and all of those things, but we work through all of that. But I would say the biggest challenge from a business standpoint and managerial standpoint has been that keeping everyone in the right lockstep as we're working into this new world of full remote.
Okay. And so, Greg, that's actually an interesting place to sit for a little bit, because if you look in the tech, or if you look at the tech landscape, right, you have companies small and large saying, all right, team, January 30th, 2023, we expect everybody back in the office. Right. Or it would have been this past June, possibly, that folks are expected to be back in the office. And so to know that you are still holding fast to that 100% remote. Yeah, that's a little counterculture, Greg.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, I feel that we're better for it. And so some things we probably didn't touch on last time when we talked, one of the things that we do as a company is that we have unlimited PTO. So we don't, I mean, there are, I say unlimited, there are some limits, but the limit is you have to get your job done. But my philosophy with that is that, you know, everyone's an adult, manage yourself. Here's the job that you have to accomplish. It doesn't matter to me if you're able to do that in 3 days a week instead of five, awesome. It's about getting it done. And that's, again, with the transparency and with the giving people the ability to manage their own time. And I think that those are important things from a culture standpoint that may not be the norm, but I'm very committed to.
Oh, and Greg, that speaks as much to you as it does to the folks on the team, right? Because you've set forth that edict, hey, we're 100% remote. You know, you can take as much time off as you need as long as you're getting your work done. That means that there's fully adults in the room.
Right. Right. And really, the challenge we have is getting people to take time off. I mean, that sounds crazy, but we actually have a minimum of 2 weeks that you have to take. So we have the opposite problem of like, okay, you've got to take some time for yourself and you've got to take some time off.
Well, and it's interesting that you had to institute that, because I know some people, they'll wake up and get everyone in the household out of the door, right? And then they start their day, maybe 9, 10 or whatever. And then they'll pop to the grocery store or run an errand during lunch. And so for them, having that autonomy and that license, if you will, to just kind of set their day up, they're not thinking, oh, well, yeah, I've also got this bank of time that I have to take, right? Because right, for them, they're going from Iowa to visit family in Chicago. And for them, that's quote unquote vacation, right? But they're still working. But yeah, to have people actually designate that time, it's probably difficult depending on the individual.
It is. And people do struggle with that. And I'm people everywhere struggle with being able to disconnect. So it's not unique to us, but it is when you have that unlimited PTO, it is a challenge that we have that seems counterintuitive, but it's real.
Oh, but Greg, it again, and this isn't to gas you up or anything, but it speaks to, you know, what you're trying to create and have created there, where hey, what we work hard, we do right by the customer, but you also do have to strike that balance, right? And if I have to, I hate to use the word force, but let's go with it just for the sake of this conversation. If I have to force you to take at least 2 weeks, then I'm willing to do that, right?
Right.
So.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do feel like we are building something special here, and it's reflected in the team that we've built.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right. So, Greg, can you tell us about any key milestones or accomplishments for the company?
Yeah, so a couple. So one of those, and I mentioned earlier that we hired a CEO to run day-to-day operations and take over a lot of the responsibilities that I was focusing on so that I can focus on the technology again and have that be my primary focus. I still have a lot of what some would consider CEO roles, but am able to focus on the technology. So that was a big milestone for us. And then I probably the other on a technological standpoint, rolling out a fully multi-tenant platform so that our partners, we sell exclusively through the managed services space, and so that our partners can fully manage their licenses and deployments through our portal, and then can also give access to their clients. So if they have co-managed clients that have large enough IT departments that want to get in and manage then their own tier, they can do that. So that was a big accomplishment from a technological standpoint this year.
Okay. And Greg, just out of curiosity again, are your partners able to white label that service from you?
So we actually have that on our roadmap for early 2023 to be
Okay.
able to allow, and that we built out as we were building that more multi-tenancy capability, we were prepping for that white labeling capability.
Okay. Well, I like that. You got that Wayne Gretzky thing going on, right? Seeing where the puck
Yep.
is going, right? Not necessarily where it is. So that's good. Greg, where do you see Canary, or how do you see Canary evolving over the next few years?
Yeah, so I mean, the one big thing is that we will remain focused on ransomware. So not necessarily an evolution there, but continually staying on top of where the ransomware attackers are going and staying ahead of that curve. And then adding additional products to our offering that make it a more robust cybersecurity suite. So right now, Canary is focused exclusively on stopping ransomware, but I mean, there's so many other tools that managed service providers need. So I envision us being that leader in the space of here's the tool sets that as an MSP you should be utilizing in addition to Canary.
Okay. So, and Greg, you did mention that your offering is made exclusively through MSPs or through the channel, depending on what people know it as. Your MSP clients, how large or small are they typically?
Yeah, so they run the gamut from one man shops up to our largest, it was a little over 50 employees. So not huge MSPs. I mean, there are MSPs that have hundreds of employees. We don't have any of those large MSPs yet, but that small to mid-size MSP is our sweet spot. And so I would say the average, and I don't know this number exactly, but if I had to guess, I would say the average is right in the 5 to 7 employee range.
Okay. All right. Still a good size. I mean, being able to satisfy their customer base and knowing that they have Canary backing them up, being
Right.
able to do what they need to do and go to market, that's awesome.
Yep. And we have different tiers, and our target is on, or if we identified the perfect MSP for us, it's that MSP with 1,000 to 1,500 endpoints that they're managing, and that is a great fit for us.
Okay. All right. So for any of our MSP friends listening, and certainly if that resonates with you, then you'll definitely want to get a hold of Greg and the team there to talk through how you can partner up.
Yep, for sure.
All right, Greg, let me ask this. How does Canary approach innovation and staying ahead of the competition?
So, I mean, the one thing in this space and our particular focus is that the attackers actually make that easy for us. That may sound counterintuitive also, but the attacks are evolving so quickly. And so keeping pace with that and staying ahead of that, as we attempt to always do, allows us to innovate on a continual basis. So being in the space that we are, I mean, what we do is we're always monitoring the newest variants and newest vectors of ransomware attacks and how they're attacking. And one example of that is what's called a slow roll ransomware attack, where rather than going in and encrypting everything as quickly as they can, they'll encrypt just maybe a couple files a minute or a few files over time so that systems like ours wouldn't detect it. We actually were ahead of that innovation, saw that coming, and had systems in place to detect and stop that. So that's one example of probably hundreds over the last years that we will continue to stay ahead of.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that you're again, kind of watching where the puck is going as it relates to.
Yeah, I think that's a great metaphor for how we innovate, is seeing where it's going and moving to that spot as opposed to waiting till it gets there.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so Greg, can you tell us about any partnerships or collaborations that Canary has been a part of?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that working with other companies to bundle in their products and or advise on what should be being used. One partnership that we struck this year was with SaaS Alerts, which is an additional layer to SaaS monitoring so that you can monitor and ensure that two-factor authentication is on, that there's automated attack detection and response that's built into it, and it's all related to SaaS products. So Office 365 and Google Workspace are the two primary, but then it also monitors the remote monitoring and management tools that MSPs utilize. So it's a great addition, and we were able to bundle that in with our existing pricing structure and licensing fees for our clients. So essentially, anyone that was already a client, fully enabled and could use the product, and then as we add new partners on, they get those licenses in addition to the anti-ransomware licenses.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's not as if they have to, it's not like an additional bolt-on.
Right. It's included.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, man. Well, Greg, as with all good things, we're approaching the end of our time together. But before we go, I do want to ask this last question. When it's all said and done, how do you want to be remembered?
So I think that the way that I would like to be remembered is as an innovator and an entrepreneur that understood the biggest pain points that businesses were going to have and being able to address those before they even knew it was a problem.
Okay. That is a very fitting answer. And Greg, gotta say, having you back for a second time, it's been fun. Appreciate your friendship, appreciate what you're doing in the ecosystem, and all the best to you and the team there at Canary heading into 2023.
Thank you. And thanks for having me back on again. It was fun.
Awesome. And so Greg, again, before we let you go, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Yeah, so LinkedIn is probably the best way to find me and connect with me. So Greg Edwards, make sure you search Greg Edwards and Canary, not just Greg Edwards, or you'll find the 190 other Greg Edwardses that are out there. But Greg Edwards and Canary, or you can connect on our website at canary.com.
Okay, awesome. And all of that good information will be in the show notes. And so, Greg, again, thank you and all the best this holiday season to your family as well.
You too. Happy holidays.
Thanks. And Techame Presents family, thank you as always for listening. And be sure to tune in next time when we will have another technology expert share their wisdom. Bye for now.